we preached this morning in Psalms 145 and verse 3 says, "Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable." And again tonight, I tell you that he's a great God. And fact is, he is a beginning and the end. There is no beginning. He is everything. He is the I am that I am. I wish I could say what is really in my heart about that, but there's no vocabulary to get it out. And mine's limited anyway, but I know one thing. I can rear back and say, great is the Lord. Great is the Lord. He is great in every way. And we talked about that this morning, who, and tried to say something about who I am that I am, and then tried to say something about what he has done and what he is doing and what he's going to do. And certainly he is coming back, Sister Lisa sang about. He is coming back, and I'm glad that I'm looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you realize that night that he came, birthed in Bethlehem into the world, there's just a few folk that really looked for him. There wasn't many really watching for him, but he came just like he said he would. And I want you to know tonight, he's coming back just like he said he would. And here, and Jesus had been doing great work, and he'd been telling them about himself, and he'd been preaching, he'd been doing all these things. And then those scribes and Pharisees, those of that day, came to him, and they were trying to find fault with him. And he said something about Jonah, and then he comes to verse 41 and 42. And I just want to say this about the Lord. As you think about him, he's the cause, he's the continuation, and he's the consummation. You can jot that down preaching sometime. Amen. It'll preach. Because he is. Amen. He is I am. I just want to plug that in. Colossians 1:18 says he might have preeminence in all things. He is preeminent one. Hey, above all, amen. We thank God and praise him for that. But here in verse 41, he's talking about Jonah. And I'll say a little bit about him a little bit later, but and then he said there's one greater than Jonah. Verse 42, he said there's one greater here than Solomon. And so I just want to preach on the greatest one. And I'm going to plug in one more here, and I sometimes plug things in, so we'll plug this in right here. I'm going to talk about Jonah. I'm going to talk about Solomon. But I first want to talk about King David. And David, that great king of Israel. And surely when we talk about David, we think about his failure, how he sinned, how he failed God and what he did. But, oh, thank God how he repented and how he cried to God. Read Psalms 51 and see how he cried out to God. I'm glad our God hears us when we come in a sincere heart, a contrite and a humble heart. God said he'd hear us, and I'm glad when I fail him, I can come to him and cry to him and say, Lord, help me. And he does help me. Amen. I'm thankful that he does. And all because of his grace and his goodness to us. Hey, I don't deserve to be helped. I don't deserve to be forgiven after all he did for me and me mess up and fail him. But thank God he loves me enough to do that. I say hallelujah. I'm glad for his love and compassion. David was a man of compassionate heart. David was a considerate man. David certainly cared about others in a special way. As you read about David, he was a great warrior. He fought battles. He won victories. But I'll tell you, David had a heart for people. And David had a heart of love. And as you think about David and the great man that he was and the heart after God that he had, you can't find that he ever worshipped an idol. You can't find that he ever set up an altar to anything else other than the living God. He may fail God. He messed up. I'm not taking up for that. God's honest in his word, and I'm going to try to be honest in my preaching. He didn't take, I'm not taking up for that. It was a failure, but oh, I'm so glad that he came to God. When Nathan the prophet came to him, I believe Nathan pointed his finger at him and said, thou art the man. By the way, they told him a story about a lamb. And I'm glad he's just getting him ready to tell about the real Lamb of God coming. But he told him a story about a lamb. And David got upset about it and said, well, that man ought to die. Anybody take a lamb like that? And then Nathan looked at him and said, thou art the man. And then David, he didn't get mad at Nathan. He didn't get mad and say, well, I'm going to put you in a dungeon. I'm going to, like he did Jeremiah. He didn't say, we're going to do all that to you. David, he repented. You read Psalm 51. What a chapter of repentance that is. And he said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Uphold me, thy free spirit. And then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. But what David was saying was, I'm in no shape to help anybody else. I can't help anybody if you don't help me. But God did come by, and God helped him, and David helped others. And I say hallelujah. I'm glad tonight you may be sitting there, and your heart may be cold and indifferent away from God. It's a good cold night, snowy on the ground. It's a good night just to cry to God and say, restore the joy. Amen. Pick me up and help me. And when we stumble, you know what you do when a little child stumbles and falls? You reach over and pick it up and say, try again. Amen. You're trying to get him to walk. Say, come to me. Come to him. By the way, we spend the first few years trying to get him to talk and trying to get him to walk. Next few we spend trying to get him to sit down and hush up. Nothing, just plugged it in. But anyway, here we are, and that little child come, trying to get him to say, Mama, Daddy, and put sentences together and say, come to me. And they start walking, wobbling, and they start to fall. You grab them and help them. Then sometimes they hit the floor and cry, and you run over to them, pick them up, and kiss their boo-boo and help them along. Hey, I want you to know that's what I got a God that loves me more than you love your child. And when I stumble and fall, I'm glad he reaches down, picks me up. If I'll just let him, amen. And he'll kiss the boo-boo, amen. And forgive me and help me restore the joy. And let me go tell somebody about Jesus and help me along the way. I say hallelujah. I praise God for that. But let me talk about David just for a minute. And David, as you see David, that great king that, and by the way, he's a king of Israel that is most noted. Now, I know Solomon, we're going to get to Solomon in a minute. But David's that beloved king of Israel. And the God talked about the throne of David and being restored. And Jesus is going to come. He's going to restore that throne that is rightfully his, rightfully the throne of David. And that will come. But David, let me just share this with you. David, and you remember as a little shepherd boy, he's out there minding his business, watching the sheep. And his dad sends for him and says, now, go see about your brethren. They're down there in battle with the Philistines. I want you to go see about them and carry something with you as you go. So he went down there. And when he got there, Goliath, you know the story. Goliath come out and he roared and said, give me a man. Give me a man at a fight. And said, if he can kill me, then we'll be your servant. But if I kill him, then y'all be our servant. And nobody in Israel would go out there. They cowed down. And Saul wouldn't go. Nobody else would go. And there they were. And little old David comes up. And he asks, who is that? And I won't put it in exact words that he said, but he said, who is that uncircumcised Philistine out there? I think he is. Defying the armies of God and God's people. And it tore David up. And it bothered him because he cared about the name of God. He cared about Israel. He cared about what was happening. And, of course, his brothers said, why don't you go back and tend the sheep? And they thought he's just getting in the way. He's just a young fella, but oh, had a love for God. He had a love for God, had something inside of him, had hungered after God. When that Philistine made fun of God, it tore him out of the frame. And finally he said, I'll go fight him. And they said, you can't do that. He said, and he wasn't a proven soldier. He couldn't wear the armor of Saul. But he killed a lion. He killed a bear. He'd fought for the sheep. He knew what it was to do some battle like that. By the way, going out there, he wasn't trusting in a sword. He wasn't trusting in the armor. He wasn't trusting how good a soldier he was because he wasn't one. All he knew was that Philistine out there was defying God of heaven and defying the armies of God. And he could not take it any longer. He said, let me go. I'll go and fight that Philistine. And oh, praise God, he did. He took him 5 stones, and I won't go into all that, but a number of graves. And also somebody said Goliath had 4 brothers and he got ready for them too. But take that as you will. But he put them in his little bag he carried with his sling, and got 1 stone out, put in that sling. You know the story. Slung it around. And when he let it go, the Holy Ghost, I believe, put the power behind it. Hit the Goliath right in the right place in the head, and he fell down flat. And then he went and cut his head off. And the whole army of Israel rose up and praised God and shouted and chased the Philistines and had a great victory. I say, glory to God, wasn't that great? Wasn't that great? But I know one greater than David. Amen. I want you to know one day, well, what did he do? He fight Goliath? No. He came one day to do a battle at Calvary. And they were about, hey, praise God. Even in the Garden of Gethsemane, I believe, that he won the victory when he said, not my will. We'll get to that later, but not my will, but thy will be done. But I want you to know that the devil was his enemy, and the devil was there, and the devil thought he'd get rid of Jesus and crucify him. But oh, how foolish he was to think he could get rid of the Son of God like that. And the devil had rebelled against God. The devil had deceived man. The devil had done all that. And here come Jesus. Now I realize he didn't die for the devil. He died. It pleased God. It's the Bible said in Isaiah chapter 3, it pleased the Lord. It pleased the Lord. And he died to pay the price that was due to God, death penalty. But the devil was the enemy, and he did battle with him. And I believe in the day of resurrection that the devil did everything he could to hold him down. I believe the devil sent every imp he could get a hold of and tried to keep a Jesus from coming out of that tomb and coming out alive. But hallelujah, on the 3rd day, Jesus got up and walked out. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, the Bible said when God was putting a curse on the serpent, he said, you'll bruise the seed of the woman's heel, but her seed will bruise your head. And Jesus went to Calvary and paid the sin debt. And then when he got up and took the keys of hell and of death, and he said he has them, amen. In Revelation 1:18, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, amen, and have the keys of hell and of death. When Jesus got up and I believe shook the keys of hell and death in the devil's face and walked out, here come the conqueror from Calvary, and walked out, hallelujah, and the devil fled. Praise God, and the Lamb forever. Goliath failed, but I want you to know one thing. The devil got defeated, amen. And God got victory, and praise his holy name. He's one greater than David, one greater than one fought a giant. But let me take David a little bit further. There was Saul, his enemy. David wasn't the enemy to Saul. Saul thought David was his enemy, though. And Saul sought to kill David. In fact, he was one day throwed a javelin at him. And David got out of the way and he hit the wall. But he wanted to kill him. And David, he ran from him. And then Saul sought after him and tried to still get him. And David just fled and got out there. And David one time cut part of a garment off of Saul in a cave and could have killed him easily, but he did not do that. But then David's heart smote him because he touched God's anointed, even touched God's anointed garment. And he said, but Saul was trying to kill him, I know. But David knew that Saul had been anointed king, and David knew he was anointed of God, and David had a fear about that. It would that we might today think about not touching God's anointed. It'd be good thinking on that line. Amen. We'll just throw that in there. But I want you to know, here David was, and he cried after Saul and said, and actually was apologizing for even touching him and touching his garment and doing anything to him. And David is that kind of a man, and he did it like that. But, oh, let me tell you something. I know one greater than David. And you know what he did? Those that were nailing him to the cross, he said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Hallelujah. Thank God. You're talking about compassion. You're talking about having mercy on. And David could have killed Saul, but he had mercy. But God, the Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary, had mercy on the ones even driving the nails in his hand. And a thought hit me the other day. Now, I ain't got this all down right yet. I'm thinking about it. But a thought hit me when I was thinking about this. Has Jesus ever lost a case? Has Jesus ever went and pled for somebody and lost it at the throne of grace? Has he ever lost a case that he interceded for? What do you think happened to those soldiers when he prayed and said, Father, forgive them. They know not what to do. I got thinking about that. I got a sneaking hunch somehow. Holy Ghost got a hold of those soldiers somewhere, and they remembered what Jesus prayed, and Jesus' prayer got answered. I don't believe you ever prayed a prayer and didn't get answered. That'll sink in on you about 3 o'clock in the morning. You'll jump out of bed and say, hallelujah. Hey, I'm glad. He prayed. He interceded for them. And I'm glad God's interceded. Hey, not just for soldiers, not just for a few folk, and not just sparing somebody, but all the enemies that's out there, Jesus has mercy on. Amen. He has mercy on all those. He loves the unlovable and loved us while we were yet sinners. And there's one greater than David. And I know I got to hurry. I'm hung up on David. I didn't mean to spend much time on him, but David, I'm glad I know one greater than David. Amen. Absalom, David's own son, turned against him. He rebelled against him. And you remember the story? Absalom stole the hearts of the people. And you got to watch that crowd too. But there'd be somebody coming around trying to steal the hearts of the people. But you know why? Absalom did that. And Absalom saw his men trying to kill David. And David fled the city. And Absalom chased after him. But then when Absalom got killed, you remember the story? Absalom's hair got hung up in a tree riding on a mule. I preached a message on the horse and the donkey and the mule. And the mule's a picture of that one that's stubborn. Amen. And now the will of God, that's how he's riding on, got his hair hung up in a tree. And then they shot him with darts and he died. And there he was. But when they got the word back to David, instead of saying, well, praise the Lord, he's gone and now I can get back to my throne, he wept and said, Absalom, Absalom, my son Absalom. He loved him. He cared about him. Hey, I want you to know Jesus. I wasn't greater than David, Jesus, when he's in the Garden of Gethsemane. I said a while ago, the victory is won there. When he prayed to the Father and said, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Hey, listen there. Jesus made a close submission to God. He came with a mission in the world. He was going to Calvary and knew it. But there, as a man, he was praying, saying, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Hey, he was submission. He was none. David, he loved Absalom so much and cared. Well, let me try to hurry now. I know one greater than David. Amen. I'm talking about the greatest one. We've been talking about a great God today. And I can't get off away from that because I got in that verse in Psalm 145 and then over here. And here now, look at Jonah just for a minute. And you know, first thing we think about Jonah, a disobedient prophet. First thing we think about is one that got swallowed up by a whale, and he did. But there's no other prophet God ever used to demonstrate, to illustrate his resurrection in. No other prophet. And by the way, you don't find another prophet in the Bible ever preached and the whole city repented. Everybody repented. King right on down. But look at verse number 38 of the chapter I just read, verse 38. Then certain of the scribes and the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. Now, no other sign, but it's just Jonah. For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly. Somebody asked me the other day, was Jonah swallowed by a whale? Because the Bible said in the Old Testament about a great fish, but here it says a whale. A prepared whale, prepared fish. God did what he wanted to do with it. You believe that story? I believe it. If everything's in me, I believe it. Jonah got swallowed. For as Jonas, now listen to this. For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. But hallelujah, Jonah got out of that whale because God had the whale spit him out on dry ground. By the way, when God delivered him, he didn't have to swim part of the way. He didn't have to try to wade part of the way. God spit him out, had the whale spit him out on dry ground, and he headed out to Nineveh and got to preaching and went in preaching, and everybody got to repenting, and everybody repented in sackcloth and ashes, right? He came right on down. He's all repenting. I praise God, what a revival that was. I believe it's the greatest revival you ever read about anywhere, anytime. Happened in Nineveh, but there Jonah was, and God used him as an illustration. Said, as he was 3 days, you believe that? I do. I believe Jesus was 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth in paradise, preaching to the saints in prison. And then on the third and glorious day, though, praise God, he got up and walked out victorious over death, hell, and the grave. I'll tell you again, Jesus Christ conquered it all. Amen. He is a conqueror from Calvary. And Jonah preached and the whole city repented. Let me tell you something tonight. Jesus came and sinners have been getting saved ever since. Amen. Religionists have been saved. Drunkards have been saved. Drug addicts have been saved. Harlots have been saved. Rapists have been saved. Murderers have been saved. And God's still saving sinners. Amen. I'll tell you tonight, praise God, Jonah may have seen the whole city repenting. You just think about how many repented since Jesus got up out of the grave. Think about how many's come to God since Jesus has been preached and Jesus has been presented. I say hallelujah when we get to heaven and we join in that crowd and look around. It's been saved by the grace of God through faith in Jesus. We're going to join together with them as a bride of Christ. Here comes the bride, hallelujah. And she's coming in, Jesus will come, and the shout will be made, and the trump will sound, and we're heading out of here. Behold, a greater than Jonas is here. Amen. I'm glad, praise God. I know one greater than Jonah. Jesus preached. That crowd came one day. He's going to try to hush him up, start to ask him questions. Every time they'd ask him a question, he'd answer them, and they'd have to hush. And I asked him about giving to Caesar. He said, render to Caesar things that are Caesar and things to God that are God's. And they said, they went away, the hush. They couldn't answer him. They couldn't know what to say. They couldn't do anything with him. Hallelujah for Jesus tonight. He is greater than Jonah. Jonah may have preached, been a great preacher. He was, no doubt. Preached with passion, undoubtedly. After being in a bit of that whale for 3 days and three nights, he come out of there maybe a whopping seaweed. I don't know what he was doing. But come in there, he got to preach. When he preached his judgment to them, he wasn't saying that there may be a judgment. He said, judgment is coming. He wasn't preaching a little soft gospel somehow. Now, y'all ought to do better. He didn't come in there preaching some little something that y'all ought to straighten up a little bit and do a little better than what you've been doing. And God doesn't like the way you've been doing, so y'all ought to think about it. No, he come in there saying, God said he's going to judge his place. And came in and preaching with power all over him and passion in his heart. And they believed what he said. And they said, maybe God will have mercy if we just repent. And they started repenting. But Jesus came. Hallelujah. I've seen those hardened sinners break. And you have, many of you have seen people that are hard. I've had some say you never reach that one or you never get that one. But oh, praise God. I've had people say, I never thought I'd see that and come, and they'd come and get saved. Hey, I'm telling you tonight, Jesus can save to the uttermost and the guttermost. There's no case too hard for God. There's no one too religious for God. There's nobody that's turned him over. Hey, God is able to break through and bring conviction and draw. There's one greater than Jonah here. Jesus has already come. Let me close with Solomon, if I may. And I thought about King Solomon. What a great king in many ways. And he had all his failures too. But Solomon was wise, the Bible said, a wise man. And you remember one time he came and they brought the baby to him, and two mothers had living in the same house and both had babies, and one had overlaid the other one, the baby, and had killed. The baby had suffocated and died. And both were claiming the baby that was alive as their baby. And they didn't know, trying to come to Solomon and said, now, they both say it's their baby. We didn't know what to do. Solomon said, bring me a sword. And said, we'll divide the baby. Give half to each one. Then the real mother cried out, no, let her have the baby. Then Solomon said, well, we know which one's the real mama. And the real mother gave it to the real mother. But I want to tell you, I know one greater than Solomon. Hey, he knew who the mother was before they ever got the sword. He knew who the mother was before they ever left the house. Hey, I'm telling you one that knows everything. He knows every thought you have. He knows every action that you do. He knows every opportunity that you miss and I miss. He knows every failure I have. He knows everything about me. He knows it all. Amen. He wasn't greater than Solomon here. Solomon's wise and he could do a lot of things and knew a whole lot. But I'm telling you, Jesus knows everything. Everything. He had riches unto, I mean, he's rich. They brought gold and they brought things in and they brought it all down to him. And he built a great temple. And I'm telling you, praise God, he was a great king. And he dedicated that temple to glory shine. And glory came and they couldn't even go in the door. And they had a great time. And riches, now Jesus, I realize on earth, now hear me well. On earth, the Bible said, Jesus said, I have no place to lay my head. Foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but I have nowhere to lay my head. Jesus borrowed a donkey going town on. Jesus borrowed a tomb to be buried in. Jesus had the garments that were on him that they divided at the foot of the cross. I don't know that he owned anything else as far as man's concerned on him is concerned. I realize he brought gold and incense and myrrh, frankincense at his birth. I realize the kings of the east brought those things. What'd they do with those? I don't know. They may have had to live on it after Joseph died. They may have given it to the other poor people around them. I don't know what they did. But Jesus said he didn't have a place on earth. But I want you to know one thing tonight. All the riches that Solomon had, it wouldn't even be a drop in the bucket when you get to glory. Hallelujah. He said streets are paved with gold. Amen. Walls of jasper. Why, one gate's one pearl. Hallelujah. Solomon never saw a pearl like that. Nobody else ever seen one like that. Hey, our eyes have never beheld anything like we're going to see when we get to glory. In fact, he owns it all. He created everything. It's all his. And you're talking about riches. Hallelujah for Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah for Jesus. You say, preacher, what about down here? God gives us what we need and the rest of it we'll just leave up to him. We got it all in him anyhow. The Bible says we are heirs and joint heirs with Christ. If you're a joint heir with somebody, you got as much as they got. Hallelujah. I think I'll take out time to shout right there. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Everything that he has, I have. I'm an heir and a joint heir with Christ. Well, preacher, you sure don't look like you have all that, but it not go by looks. Amen. Wait till we get there. Amen. Everything's going to look different then. But I want to give you a last thought about this. Greater than Jonah, greater than David, and greater than Solomon. But Solomon built that great temple. There'd never been a temple built like that. A great temple. Solomon built it. And I thought about this. Well, I wonder if it is. In the millennium, there'll be another temple. Jesus is going to come sit on the throne of his father David. There's going to be a great temple built. And the fact is, they're arguing about land over there now about it. But don't you worry. Jesus will take care of all that. And when he comes back and sets up his throne, he's going to handle all that situation. And they're trying to figure out how to get peace now. They'll never get it. They'll cry peace, but they'll never get peace till the Prince of Peace gets here. But boy, once Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, comes in, it's going to be all settled. But won't you turn with me in Revelation chapter 22, and I close. Chapter 21, rather. Chapter 21, verse 22. I want to show you this, talking about the temple. And I saw, talking about this city I've been talking about, and had to found 12 foundations and streets of gold and so forth. But in verse 22 of chapter 21 of Revelation, and I saw no temple therein. For the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. There's one greater than Solomon. He is the temple. Solomon built a great temple. Shekinah glory came. But I want you to know, I know one. He himself is the temple. Praise God. In him we live and move and have our being. And in glory, we need a temple place where they went to worship. Hey, we're going to be there with him. And he'll be the temple of that place. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. One greater. He said there's one greater than Jonah, one greater than Solomon. He's here. And I thought about King David, one greater than him. But tonight, what kind of a relationship do you have with him? What kind of fellowship do you have with him? Can you tell me that? What kind of a, where are you with him? We're going to get ready to sing in just a moment. But I want you to think about one greater, the greatest one of all. I'm trying to preach him today. Father, seal the words to our hearts. We'll praise you and thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name.